called with Temple of Health Radio Show, and today we're pleased to have as our guest Lee Gerds. I hope I'm pronouncing that right.
Close.
Okay, good. His book, The Infinite Possibilities of a Balanced Brain, is called Limitless You. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Well, Lee, I understand that you are primarily started life as a computer geek, as you put it in your book. And then attempted to solve a problem that you had, which you identified as post-traumatic stress disorder, and that is how you came to discover the technology of brain balancing. Is that right?
Correct. Yeah, I was actually I was assaulted by four youth, one wielding a baseball bat. So spent 9 years with all the symptoms of post-traumatic stress, and spent 9 years in research and trying to find out how I was going to get out from under this ongoing tyranny of dysfunction.
Well, I guess we're very fortunate that you were able to get information about this great technology. You know, most people with post-traumatic stress disorder end up either medicating it or doing therapy or somehow, just suppressing it through willpower. And that is often a very serious problem. I spent 13 years in the military and have a great deal of experience with post-traumatic stress disorder in my patients because obviously the military is one of the biggest generators of that problem.
Yeah. And the issue became I tried medication. I was a psychotherapist too.
Okay.
So I tried, my background is in math and physics and also in psychology and theology. So I tried all those things, and I tried modalities from around the world. But the fact is that when the brain changes, when it becomes imbalanced, you don't function the same way. And you can feel that dysfunction in your body because your body doesn't function the same way. And especially with post-traumatic stress, the autonomic nervous system gets off. So you go into one or two dominant states. One dominant state is the freeze state. In that state, your blood pressure is lower. Your, you know, blood is actually pulled back from the extremities when you get into a traumatic experience in a freeze state. You have digestion problems. You have difficulty communicating. The only way you can actually get out of that freeze state fully is to self-medicate or to rage. So that's one side of the coin. The other side of the coin would be when your dominant pattern is fight or flight. And then you have the exact opposite happen. Your cardiovascular system kicks in. Your blood pressure is usually too high. Your extremities are hot. Usually a lot of people with really hot hands, when you shake hands with them, that's what's going on. And your radar is up all the time. And you're you're more than eager for a challenge.
Road rage.
Yeah. That's just one of the many things. You know, you have a hair trigger. You know, somebody says, "Wow, this is a nice day, isn't it?" And you say, "What did you mean by that?" Well, I mean, it was a nice day, for crying out loud. You know, give me a break. So, but the important thing, I guess, is that in looking at my own brain patterns when I was feeling good and when I wasn't feeling so good, and developing the technology to do that, that led us to develop the technology then to look at brain patterns in general. Well, what happens if somebody isn't feeling so good with all the many pathologies they have? High blood pressure, restless leg, anxiety, fatigue, you know, depression. What do those brain patterns look like? And, well, we've collected now 17,000 plus. And so we're able to start seeing the nuances of that those functional brain patterns and helping people to rebalance the brain, and then many pathologies go away.
Let's talk a little bit more in detail about the parasympathetic versus sympathetic dominance, because I think that's kind of the key to understanding this technology. It's also the key to understanding what we've been studying, which is how cancer develops. And you have a great story in your book about how a female physician had her life fall apart and then developed breast cancer, and that's a very common thing to have happen, this idea of a biological conflict. But let's talk about the parasympathetic versus sympathetic dominance in the brain. Can you go a little more detail about that?
Well, when we look at these brain functions, I mean, we don't literally look for internal nervous system operation. We look for brain pattern.
Mm-hmm.
But we've equated those brain patterns, because we have so many, to the autonomic nervous system. So I want to make sure you understand that I'm going backwards.
Right. What you see on the pattern and then what you see in the patient.
Precisely. I'm going backwards in this exploration. Now, so we have probably 120 or so people who've had cancer, for example.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't know why, but I see that two things are pertinent for that group of people. Number one, they're all sympathetic dominant.
Mm-hmm.
And number two, they've all had trauma patterns, and trauma patterns of what we call in the infringement category.
Mm-hmm.
So something gets too close to the organism, and the brain picks it up as being infringement, so it's life-threatening.
Right.
It's an attack, or it's physical, or it's emotional, doesn't matter. Or it's perceived, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't have to be real.
It doesn't have to be real, exactly.
Yeah. So we see the attack, the infringement,
mm-hmm.
and we see in what life stage it happened.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we see that because we see it exactly like a biologist would cut down a tree,
mm-hmm.
and would use algorithms to measure the rings of a tree.
Mm-hmm.
And those algorithms would tell him or her, for the last 2,000 years, what times were intense in that particular location, weather pattern-wise. So they can predict weather patterns back a couple thousand years with algorithms and rings of a tree.
Mm-hmm.
Well, guess what? You can do a very similar thing with brain patterns and the life of a person.
Mm-hmm.
You can see when the trauma pattern hit and what kind of a trauma pattern it was.
You give several examples of that in your book when you talk about your diagnosis. You say you had the example that the boy in the beginning of the book had a trauma near birth. And
right.
His mother didn't remember it, but yet they tried to induce her a month early.
Right.
And that would definitely be a trauma.
Right. And she remembered in the, what do you call the sonar? Ultrasound.
Right.
She remembered in the ultrasound screen how the fetus had been pulled back up in the womb and was in a ball.
Right.
And that is the standard pattern for a freeze response.
Right.
So if I can't do anything, if I'm helpless and somewhat hopeless, I will go into a freeze response.
Yeah, that's described as the biological conflict as well, like when one of your children dies or some really major biological conflict, you freeze. You're not hungry. Your extremities are cold. There's all sorts of physical aspects that identify that you're in this state. But the danger then may be that you, depending on what part of your brain is involved, is that you can develop cancer in the corresponding organ.
Yeah.
And that's really a remarkable finding in terms of causation for cancer.
Though, your exploration of that is, of course, much more, I hate to say pertinent, but much more pertinent than ours. We do it secondhand. This just sort of comes out of the data.
Right.
I mean,
yeah.
You know, it's not like we're smart, okay? And it's, because we're not. And
you
it's,
just
and
notice it, things.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I'm a geek for crying out loud.
It's good confirmation. You know, it's good confirmation of what other people are actively studying.
Yeah. I mean, we're just actually noticing things. That's a perfect way to put it. And in doing that, we're able to, though, see what happens when that brain pattern will change.
Uh-huh.
Let me give you, for example, we have a number of people who've changed their brain pattern, who've had, a number of men who've changed their brain pattern, and they've had prostate, high PSA,
mm-hmm.
You know, 6, 5, or 5 to 9.
Right.
Which would indicate a strong likelihood of some problems, right?
Oh, yeah.
And when they, within a month after changing their brain pattern,
mm-hmm.
everybody's amazed that their PSA is in, you know, 1.5 to 2.25 range.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm not.
Okay.
I mean, right? I mean, everything should, my mother always taught me, everything will go better in your life, son, if you approach it in a balanced and harmonized way.
Mm-hmm.
Well, why wouldn't I go better?
Right.
Physically.
Well, and back to the, you know, back to what Dr. Hammer found about the, you know, the basis, possibly the basis of cancer, is that the brain lesion occurs first. You know, the Hammer lesion occurs before the cancer actually occurs.
Yeah.
So that's very interesting. You know, it may be that the lowering of energy in the organ, be it the prostate or the breast or the lung, occurs because of unbalanced brain waves.
I do believe that that's very potentially true, and I think someday, somehow,
mm-hmm.
you know, the answer is medical science now and in history has held out that chemistry drives function. I hold out that function drives chemistry.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a pump from pumping from a beaker. Let's use this example. A pump pumps from a beaker filled with chemicals, and the mm-hmm. pump is pumping those chemicals into our body, and that's what the brain is effectively doing.
Right.
Now, let's say that the chemistry is wrong, so you try to change it, and then when the pump works, then it pumps a chemistry which is now different.
Mm-hmm.
Well, guess what? If the pump is pumping 10 times faster than it should, you're still going to get a different chemical, but you're still going to get 10 times more.
True. I mean, it's equivalent to saying that, you know, biochemistry is dominant, but really biophysics is more, I guess, the basis of the reality of our body than is biochemistry. Because
yeah.
biophysics is more, I guess, closer to creation. You know, you have to look at the levels of creation. And, you know, the thought is first, you know, in the universal mind, and then it goes on down into the astral, the emotional, and then, which is feeling, and then it goes on down finally into the physical, which is where biochemistry resides. But right now, medicine is firmly planted in biochemistry rather than biophysics, which is a problem because, like you say, that if the biophysics is off, then the biochemistry can't be right. Or try to make it right by you know, all these artificial chemicals, what you get is a bunch of side effects.
But medicine has done that best in the U.S.
True, because other cultures have paid attention to things like energy management.
Well, but they had to.
They had to
because they didn't have the money. Yeah,
that's true.
Isn't that a kick?
It is.
I just get such a kick out of it. And then when I think, well, we're about the 38th among, you know, in the world in terms of healthcare. Generally speaking, and 38th in the world. Let's see, pharmaceutical companies, new meds. Where are those coming from? Mm-hmm. All from the 38th.
Right.
And you start thinking about, wow, what's really wrong here? Well, I think in the future, the truth lies someplace in between. It's a combination.
It does.
Combination.
I mean, you know, I'm firmly, as a trained as a medical doctor and as a surgeon, I'm firmly believing in, you know, the ability of painkillers, antibiotics, you know, and certain medications to be very, very useful.
Right.
I couldn't do my job without them.
Right.
Especially like anesthesia. That's extremely useful. But the problem is when you try to permanently change a pathway, and the drugs that cause the most problems are the ones that do it the best, you know, Vioxx and the other COX-2 inhibitors that were the best at doing what they did were the ones that caused all the side effects. The ones that are more sloppy that allow more stuff through.
Yeah.
No, it's true. I mean, you know, the better they made the drug, the more likely it was that it would end up killing people.
Yeah.
Because you can't stop a pathway, and I think your training, you know, as a systems analyst and a techie would tell you that if God made a pathway, we're not supposed to block it completely. You know?
Right on. Yeah. That's exactly right.
let some arachidonic acid through that pathway, please.
Yeah.
Well, no, I mean,
yeah,
it's just common sense, but they keep making bigger and better drugs because they want to keep the patents on. You know, every 7 years they lose their patents, so they've got to make a bigger and better drug, and then it looks like the FDA can't figure out which ones are going to cause trouble before they do, and so the whole pharmaceutical industry has gotten itself into a bind with that.
Yeah, but somebody, someplace in the future is going to say, hey, wait a minute, this is both, and so let's incorporate both of these, and let's do both of these terms of a test, and let's that's where the rubber is going to meet the proverbial road, when we can do both and we can look at the whole, because that's holistic health.
That's true, and I think that, you know, the right now pharmaceutical industries kind of dominate the government the government regulatory agencies, so that's all that they're focusing on. But as money becomes more of an issue, and I think with this recession, money has become an issue, especially in healthcare. So the less expensive therapies are going to actually win out. I think. I think economics drives everything eventually.
Yeah, eventually.
So,
you know, you did mention something interesting when you talked about you couldn't do your work without anesthesia, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because, some of us are tall, some of us are short, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Some of us are built more vulnerable than others.
Right.
In certain ways. And if the forearm is much longer on one person than the other person, then the lever is longer, and you have a physical reality that arm can break easier given some kinds of compromises.
Mm-hmm.
Well, also you have some people who, because of the way they're made and because of their histories, that going under anesthesia will leave them in a more of a state of imbalance.
True.
And so we see a lot of those folk, and particularly, actually, Doc, we see a lot of them if they've had to have two or three major, if they've had to go under two or three times in less than 2 years.
Right.
And we will see trauma prints then that the brain registers.
Yeah, I don't doubt that.
And all the symptoms that go with that, when that brain balances, then we like to do those because we look like heroes all the time, you know.
And they're more likely to consent to further surgery if they need it rather than just being paralyzed by it.
Yeah.
Because people are very afraid to go under.
Yeah.
And probably rightly so. It's probably not good for them.
And it doesn't take any time to change that reality for them. And they can get their balance back, they get their brain fog gone, they get all this stuff, you know, in not necessarily overnight, but certainly within a couple
quickly.
Days. Yeah.
So. Well, I really appreciated some of your insights in the book about violent behavior, video games. You know, there's a debate out there going going on to determine if these violent movies and violent video games cause violence or if they are, you know, like you indicate, are just a symptom of an unbalanced brain that doesn't actually cause violence but helps people live out the violence so that they don't have to live it out, you know, in the physical world. You want to explain that a little bit? Because that's fascinating in terms of our criminal justice system and everything, if that can be helped.
Well, again, this is sort of a, I guess, as is everything as we go on in life, more of a personal reflection than, you know, than a grandiose thought. My father was alcoholic.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd always thought, you know, what a tremendous waste that was of potential.
Mm-hmm.
Because when he would get off of the sauce for a while, he would function incredibly well, or he could
right.
do that.
Right.
So I never could I never could accept that. And forgiveness was a far thing from my mind. However, when I started to work with people who were dealing with addiction, and I saw how consistently their brains were imbalanced, I started to realize that they weren't doing anything in terms of activating that addiction, but trying to self-medicate, trying to bring that brain back to a balance the only way they could.
Right.
Then I started saying, oh my gosh, you know, he was doing the best he could.
Yeah.
We just didn't know at the time what that was about.
Mm-hmm.
Well, when we look at a person who's stuck on a video game, mm-hmm. or and they're doing that in a, and especially those who are really seem to be addicted to the violent type of video games.
Mm-hmm.
We're looking at very much the same thing. This person has an imbalance, and that's one way that they can use to bring the imbalance back to a balanced state.
Mm-hmm.
We see that in video games, but you know where else we see it? We see that in shopping.
Mm-hmm.
We see that in gambling. We
right.
see that in sex. We see that in pornography.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we see all this stuff, and we start to understand that these are about brain patterns that are strongly imbalanced,
mm-hmm.
and the brain begins to drive the behavior rather than the behavior driving the brain.
Mm-hmm.
So it's awfully simple, actually, when you look at it from that respect. But it does something else for me personally, and that is it allows me to live in a state of forgiveness and acceptance.
Right.
I start understanding
the cause of something.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah, and the lack of intent.
Yeah, that's true.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the do you want to talk a little bit about what it actually is like to go through a brain training and what is involved and how people could take advantage of this?
Well, what we do is the first thing, our intent is to bring the brain as far as we can, to bring it back to a state of balance and harmony.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the intent. So in order to activate that intent, the first thing we do is we do an assessment. We look at all the lobes of the brain.
Mm-hmm.
We look at those lobes as when they're in a relaxed state, when they're in a medium kind of state, and when they're in an activated state. And then once we have all that data, and that takes about 30 minutes, and how that's done is we have sensors and we have computer chips in those sensors. You know, well, you would remember the old electrodes that you had to get the paste just right, you know, you had to get everything mm-hmm. sealed. Well, we put computer chips in there to take out the artifact so that we can look at that brain pattern and that brain energy very, very effectively.
Mm-hmm.
So we use our sensors, we place those on the scalp, and we take that data, and the computer then, from that data, generates patterns or maps and tells the trainer where the imbalance exists.
Mm-hmm.
Then the trainer goes back and places those sensors again on the scalp where those imbalances exist, and the computers and the computer has generated a protocol or a design, and the montage is where what lobes we're looking at, the location. The design is how that location, what we need to do with it, okay, how we need to look at it. And so then the computer reads the data again from the person in the imbalanced places, but it only reads the data which would be dominant if those places were balanced. And in that data range, it translates that data range to sound, because what we're talking about is looking at energy inside of our brain, which is a frequency, and we're talking about then the computer translating that frequency to sound and playing it back to the person in a headphone.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all there is to it. So what we're doing effectively for the brain is we're giving it a makeup mirror, right?
Mm-hmm.
A magnifying mirror, to look at only one area and to look at that area in a magnified way with the optimized frequencies being looked at. And so then it starts to gravitate towards those optimized frequencies for that area and let go of the patterns which weren't optimized.
And this is something that you have available in every city, or...
We have 130 offices currently in about 20 countries, and we're looking for places to psychotherapists, docs, in holistic clinics, naturopathic docs, homeopathic docs, some nurses, and some nonprofits, addiction clinics. All of that is kind of our customer. We're the tool manufacturer,
right?
We in doing the tool manufacturing, we have ongoing support for all of our licensees.
Mm-hmm.
We take all of their data, which is all HIPAA compliant, by the way. Of course, we take all their data at night and collect that data. And that data, and those 17,000 plus, we're getting about 250 to 300 new clients a week.
Mm-hmm.
All of that's informing us every night now. And so new patterns are coming out just automatically. For example, the last new pattern we got about 2 months ago, which is kind of really astounding to me, was postmenopausal female heat regulation problem, hot flashing,
and
sleep issues.
Mm-hmm.
And the pattern was just so clear.
Yeah, well, that's true. I mean, without that little estrogen molecule, your hypothalamus goes berserko.
Well, but I don't know about that stuff. I'm just a geek.
I do. I went to my holistic DYN doctor and said, look, I cannot be a surgeon if you don't control this. He goes, no problem. Here's the patch. Oh, no. Well, of course, yeah, it is a brain pattern. It absolutely is.
Yeah. I'm just amazed at that.
Yeah, no, that's true. So what luck have you had in regulating it through modulation of the brain?
Oh, that's once you see where the imbalance is in that
mm-hmm.
sense, the balancing is, it mitigates that tremendously.
Great.
Especially it takes care of the sleep issue almost immediately.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then it helps mitigate the hot flashing
mm-hmm.
a lot. And it also stabilizes emotional control.
Right.
So, yeah, those things all happen really quick.
So how often do people need to get follow-up treatments?
Well, what we're seeing right now is that probably our average client gets about 18 to 22, around 20, give or take a couple.
Mm-hmm.
That's about the average client. But we have some that are way not average, and we have some that are a lot less. So it depends on what the person's dealing with and how etched that brain pattern is.
Mm-hmm.
And the assessment and, say, the session where we're trying to balance the lobes that are imbalanced, that usually lasts about an hour and a half to 2 hours in that time frame.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're looking at 20 of those over a period of time. 20 of those usually over, you might do 10 the first week or two.
Mm-hmm.
And then see where you go for another 3 weeks, and then maybe you'll have to do another 10 over another couple weeks. So you're looking at 6 to 8 week period, pretty much.
Okay. So someone could make a big effort in time, do it quickly during a couple of week period, and then just do follow up treatments. Is that?
Yeah, a lot of people will do. Do the 10 sessions in a week.
Uh-huh.
So they'll do two sessions a day, assessment,
right,
and then two sessions a day. And if there are some pathologies, we actually will, I shouldn't say we don't require it, but we tell the person, if you don't do it this way, we can't guarantee results.
Right.
And addiction, for example.
Mm-hmm.
You have an addiction, you have to change the pattern quickly.
Right.
And we expect that 90% of anybody that walks in the door with any addiction,
mm-hmm,
will have 90% of their urge mitigated within 2 days.
Mm-hmm.
That,
okay,
you know, so if you, once you deal with that, once you get the urge mitigated,
mm-hmm,
now you can start working on the more subtle areas of the brain pattern.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
It doesn't replace a therapeutic coaching endeavor.
Right.
It enables that endeavor.
Have you done it with cigarettes as well as
yes,
drug addiction?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, okay. Nicotine is tough, and but it works just the same. And here's one, Doc, in your field, where we're talking about quote-unquote medicinal uses of marijuana.
Mm-hmm.
Marijuana is a killer. I mean, that is really something in a brain pattern.
Really?
Oh, man, oh, man, oh, man.
What does it do to the brain pattern?
What it does is neurons are closer on the left than the right, right?
Mm-hmm.
That sounded funny. Neurons are closer on the left. So when you're executing, what you want to see is you want to see higher frequencies, execution frequencies, on the left frontal lobe, slightly greater than on the right. Now, what marijuana does is knock those high frequencies out on the left and lowers them.
Mm-hmm.
So the person then looks at, on the left side, we get sequential processing. On the right side, we get contextual processing more, because the neurons are further apart, and so you're looking more at context. You're looking further apart.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it doesn't mean that, in fact, you don't do everything on both sides of the brain all the time, because you do. We have a parallel processor, and we know that.
Right.
So, but it does mean that we have a dominant side for certain function. And what marijuana does is take the dominant side, which is the left frontal lobe,
mm-hmm,
and sequential processing, and lowers the capability.
Hmm.
Now, when you lower the capability of it, that's why people who might smoke marijuana will say, oh, man, look at that color. I've not, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
Right? Because, this is great. Look at all that's around me. Well, it was always around you.
You just didn't see it.
You didn't see it because you were processing too much and driven by the left side and your sequential processing. But now all at once, guess what? You can't do that sequential processing anymore.
Right.
And what happens to somebody that smokes that for a while,
mm-hmm,
is that they lose motivation.
Mm-hmm.
They lose capability to focus.
Right.
They cannot concentrate.
Right.
So they jump. It's like a ADD assured,
mm-hmm,
drug.
Right.
You know, and I can understand if I am actually in my last X months, and I want to go out as well as I can.
Without nausea.
Yeah, without right. nausea. Give me yeah. marijuana. Okay,
right.
thank you very much.
Because I don't have a job to do. You know, I can.
Yeah, but any other time, if mm-hmm. I want to be who I am,
mm-hmm.
that is the last thing I want to do in the world.
Yeah. And it's interesting that so many states are considering legalizing it. I think they're doing it for economic reasons.
Me too.
Which, you know, it's a way to make money when they have to make money. But it's interesting at what it might do to their populace in terms of actually being productive.
Yeah, we should just go to those. We'll put a business plan together to just go into those states and have a whole bunch of licensees there because we'll be well needed.
Because you'll need it. That's corporate planning, huh?
Yeah, you follow the problem, right?
Yeah, you're right.
I mean, it is crazy, but you said earlier that you thought the economical aspects of reality would drive pretty much anything, and there you go, just proving that that's true.
Yeah. Especially in times of, well, pretty much only in times of economic crisis, though. I mean, you know, if the economy is not in crisis, then other things hopefully will drive people.
Yeah,
people
when did
states and yeah. countries?
When did California do it?
Yeah, right. Yeah, exactly.
They were nearing bankruptcy, and
that's right.
Thought, well, here's a few, you know, here's a few hundred million.
Yeah. Well,
so
necessity is a mother, as they say.
But we have to ask then some other questions about that process, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, wait a minute. Is our greater good represented by that kind of governmental authority? Because if I'm looking at my greater good, then yeah, there's certain things I want to do to shore up my financial well-being. That's mm-hmm. part of my greater good. But I don't want to do that at a great expense of my physical well-being or my spiritual well-being, or right?
Yeah, well, that's true.
And so, you know, where we're getting off now, where our imbalance is now showing, is on a higher level than it used to. And as strange as it might seem, I'm hypothesizing that in a short period of time, people are going to see that and get the picture that they themselves have to be balanced.
Mm-hmm.
And that means all the things that my mother taught. You got to have exercise regularly. You got to have a decent diet. You know, I mean, you know, basic stuff, right?
Right.
I mean, that's where I think we're headed, I hope.
Well, I hope that's where healthcare is headed.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, healthcare has been in the dark ages with, here, take this pill.
Yeah. You know,
is the only alternative for anything, or have this surgery.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that, you know, I think everything works together as a whole to achieve balance in the system. But essentially, it's like a pendulum swinging back and forth. So, you know, we used to, in the 60s and 70s, we were more wild and more, you know, economically irresponsible, and now the pendulum's going to swing back, and we're going to be less wild, more structured, and more economically responsible. You know, I think that's the pendulum. And as far as this, you know, the spirituality or the higher level things, I think that is what drives everything. I mean, those energies drive everything. So,
but let me.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
May I just respond to the. What you just said about the pendulum,
sure. mm-hmm.
in what we see. Let's take, for example, we've looked at couples involved in a dysfunction of abuse.
Mm-hmm.
So one is primarily the abuser, and one is primarily the abused.
Right.
And what we'll see is we'll see huge imbalances exactly on the opposite sides of the brain.
Mm-hmm. They complement each other to make a whole person.
Precisely.
Yeah, and that's why people fall in love, too. I have friends who are sound therapists. In fact, one of my sound therapist friends, who's a retired physicist, just made a disc for me to kill mold because my house got flooded my crawl space got flooded during the recent Atlanta floods.
Oh.
And so that's my voice. You can probably hear this. I've got sinus problems. For the first time in my life, with mold because of the crawl space. So, but basically, his research shows that when people fall in love, they are also just matching frequencies. You know, like the man and the woman are matching frequencies with each other that they're each missing, and together they make a whole person.
Mm.
So you could probably predict if you wanted to who would fall in love.
I don't want to go there, but yeah. Well, maybe I should go there. I don't know.
You have the technology, so could I suggest that you open a dating service based on what you know?
I know.
No, seriously, you could. Dating services are probably very profitable.
But I'm single, so that would be problematic for me. But I'm a workaholic, so that matters. But when we looked at, when we went inside, first we looked at probationers, okay,
mm-hmm.
and we looked at probation officers.
Right.
And guess what? Same thing.
They met. Totally.
One was one side and one was the other side.
Interesting.
So then we went inside of a medium security correctional facility,
mm-hmm.
and we looked at inmates.
And guards.
Yep. We looked at correctional officers. And guess what? Same exact thing.
Interesting. Any significant relationship you have in your life, you may draw the people in so that they balance your brain.
Now, that's where I don't think it's accurate.
Okay.
Because when these oppositional, if you will, forces have attracted each other,
mm-hmm.
they haven't been able to leverage that for their own self-well-being.
They have conflict.
Yeah, that's why I don't know if I agree with your individual who says that there are frequencies needed when people fall in love. And I shouldn't say I disagree because I don't know, but it seems to me when people fall in love for the well-being of the third entity, which is their unity,
mm-hmm.
then that wouldn't be the case at all.
Well, no, I'm not saying there's any result from it. I'm just saying that's why the attraction occurs.
Yeah, well, maybe that's why we have a 60% divorce rate.
Well, it certainly is. But I mean, I'm not going any further than saying that you could predict what people would want to get together based on an analysis of their brain frequencies.
Yeah, you could. In that case, you'd be able to predict two things. Number one, mm-hmm. Which ones would feel like getting together, and number two, mm-hmm. which ones who felt like getting together would be successful long term.
Right, right.
Yeah, you could.
Well, I agree with you. If somebody has especially an extremely disbalanced brain, being with another person is not going to necessarily change that. I mean, it doesn't, but it does. It does kind of. It's interesting that they will attract people to them that balance their brain. If you were to, you know, just look at them, but you're right. It doesn't translate into them actually balancing their brain necessarily.
Yeah. You know, the internal balance of the brain is very interesting as well,
mm-hmm.
because part of the internal balance that you work with, part is sensory and part is activation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, part is receiving and part is sending out.
Right.
Well, for the most part, we find that receiving is in the back.
Mm-hmm.
And for the most part, we find that sending out is in the front. So when we have an imbalance in the front to the back, and particularly where we have an imbalance in certain areas, we see pathologies,
mm-hmm.
stuttering, tremors,
mm-hmm.
Restless leg.
Right.
It's greatly interesting to then see what happens when that front-to-back balance transpires, because that's when the person usually has an opportunity to reach out beyond themselves more than they have in the past.
Mm-hmm.
So they're able to connect to others and to the creation around them,
mm-hmm.
more robustly. than they have. And that's when they usually say to us things like, well, you didn't tell me this was going to be a spiritual experience.
Right, yeah.
Well, it isn't, and it is because everything is, right?
Right.
So, yeah, it's kind of cool.
Well, that's interesting. That's an interesting idea that isolation, or the, what I say, the only true sin, there's only one sin, which is an ancient Aramaic term for missing the mark, and that's the idea of separation. And the more separate we are, and how better to characterize that in our brainwaves. I mean, the more separate we are, the more likely we are to exhibit antisocial behavior, depression, you know, post-traumatic stress disorder, whatever it is. And that if you correct that, then we can start becoming more whole, reaching out through relationships to, you know, the world around us, even seeing the world around us. Because I think a lot of really pathological patients, prisoners and you know, serial killers just don't ever see the world around them the way it really is.
Yeah,
they see an extremely skewed view of the world because of these filters that are their brainwaves.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's a great way to, you know, without having to incarcerate the person for the rest of their life, or somehow medicate them, or whatever you want to, or have them as useless people in society in terms of the whole. If you use this technology, you could maybe shift them into something much more comfortable for themselves and society.
Yeah, we did see that these men and women had a large amount of remorse at some time during the balancing.
Yeah, when they actually see how it impacts.
Precisely,
because outside of them.
Yes, because they were able to do exactly what you just said. They were able
right.
to see, and that seeing made them aware, and that awareness brought them to connect.
Right.
And interestingly, none of the inmates had previously, their families didn't visit them.
Mm-hmm.
Because these were the quote-unquote bad boy group.
Hardcore.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And now they're getting, for mm-hmm. 2.5 years, they've had visitations almost every week.
Right. Well, they shifted in who they were. Because
yeah,
Their brainwaves shifted. But, you know, I think spiritually, they're probably attracted. The ones that are going to be beneficial are attracted here through spiritual means. In other words, the energies that led you to them and them to you are to show that this technology works. I mean, this is a very great opportunity for people to shift into more spiritual awareness. So,
yeah, it is.
It really is. If you can do it with a hardcore prisoner, you can definitely do it with someone who has a mild depression and a mild personality disorder.
Right. Yeah. We talked about, you know, early in our work, we talked about, well, is this a sophisticated placebo,
mm-hmm.
right? Or is this actually a technology which enables the brain to find homeostasis?
Mm-hmm.
And so in order to test that, we chose to have, we talked to some authorities and had them talk to parents of teens who were in lockup.
Mm-hmm.
So they would be in lockdown isolation.
Right.
And so the parent could bring the teenager in here for training.
Right.
Because we thought if we could have somebody like that, and they all came in with a one-finger salute, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Right.
and I told them, and here's the deal. Mm-hmm. You sit down in the chair, you be quiet, and you don't move,
mm-hmm.
or you go back to lockup. Which would you prefer? Well, the chair is comfortable, so they chose
the chair.
But they didn't like it, and they didn't want to be
right.
here, and they didn't believe it. Anything
right.
was going to happen.
Of course, they're teenagers.
We didn't have one of them. Who didn't hug me at least after 5 sessions?
There you go. Well, you're relieving great amount of pain caused by this isolation due to brainwaves, essentially.
Yeah.
Well, we're at the end of our hour. I want to really thank you for joining us today. We've been interviewing. How do you pronounce your last name again?
It's Gurdes. Gerdes.
Okay.
That's all right.
Two syllables. Lee Gerdes, author of Limitless You, The Infinite Possibilities of a Balanced Brain. We've been talking about a remarkable technology that may help many of our problems that we've been trying to treat either with prison or medications or other things that aren't working so well. And I want to thank you very much for joining us. Next week we are interviewing, Jeff Stray on Beyond 2012, Catastrophe or Awakening. And then on the 14th, Anna Maria Hemingway, Practicing Consciousness, Living and Dying Stories of the Eternal Continuum of Consciousness. Larry Dawsey, Dr. Dawsey's new book, The Power of Premonition, How Knowing the Future Can Shape Our Lives on the 21st. And Penny Pierce, Frequency, The Power of Personal Vibration, on the 28th. We have Noetic Science Meeting on November 19th. Mark Hanlon and Lawrence Perry will be speaking about HARP, its profound effects on us and our planet. That's at the Georgetown Square office on the 19th of November. Noetic Science is the third Thursday of every month. Well, Lee, thank you very much for joining us. We
appreciate it's been a pleasure.
Everything, and best of luck to you on this. And I'll probably be calling you to talk to you about the bringing you into our clinic. We have a holistic clinic.
Oh, I'd love it.
So, all righty. Well, thanks a lot. And,
okay. Thank you.
Join us next week for Temple of Health Radio Show.
Don't you just hate trying on bathing suits? Wait a minute. You look great. Plastic surgery?
Not surgery. I got an endermology treatment from the experts at Plastikos.
What's endermology?
Endermology is the terrific non-surgical treatment that Europeans have been using for years to tone skin and contour the body. Endermology by Plastikos feels great, and you can see the difference it makes.
No kidding. Who do I call?
Plastikos, a leader in plastic and reconstructive surgery, is the number one center in Atlanta offering endermology. For more information and a complimentary consultation and treatment, call Plastikos at 770-457-4677. Plastikos Endermology Skin Toning and Body Contouring, 770-457-4677.
So you had plastic surgery. What was it like?
It was great. Don't get me wrong. It was surgery, but the doctors and staff at Plastikos were terrific.
Honey, you look like $1 million. You actually went to Plastikos and had it done.
Why don't you? Plastic surgery is outpatient, and you'll only be out of work a few days. I love what Plastikos did for me, and looking my best is an investment that pays in so many ways. The help you get from the professionals at Plastikos is a bargain.
Plastikos, 770-457-4677. Mention this ad for a free consultation. Financing is available, 770-457-4677.